You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
And welcome to Master Your Mind with Dr. Erica. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I always like to start off with a deep breath and just release. And I always affirm today is a good day. And the reason why I do that really is because no matter how you woke up, no matter how yesterday was, today is a new day. And when it's a new day, it means new possibilities, new change, new opportunities for growth, and really taking the time to love yourself and value yourself and know that you are worthy and deserving of all the good things that come. I'm a psychologist. I have been practicing for over 23 years, and I love mental health. I always say mental health is human health, because as human beings, we all need to have healthy minds. In the month of June, I am offering a Father's Day special with my CBD oil. I have an online dispensary for premium organic CBD. It's at hemphappier.com. The Father's Day special is regularly priced at $195. The sale price is $119.95. It includes the hemp oil, which is what I take every morning, a liquid relief pain oil for anyone going through pain, arthritis, any type of pain management. Also comes with a pack of power gummies in a bonus pack. I do gummies at night for sleep. And then it also has a diamond pre-roll if you like CBD flower. Check out those deals at hemphappier.com. I'm also offering a 25% discount off my coaching services. I've been providing therapy, but I also do coaching for those people who just need that immediate service. You might be dealing with a stress and you just want to talk to a professional about where you can kind of manage some of those basic symptoms that you're dealing with before you want to step into the next phase of what you need. And so I encourage you to check out my website. It's called healthyminds.com. On my website, you can also link to articles. I write a monthly article in FetLifestyleMag.com. It's actually an online magazine, a lifestyle magazine, Fet, F-E-T-E, LifestyleMag.com. Check it out. I have back with me the fabulous Stephanie E. Johnson, beautiful young lady. She was with me at part one, and we're doing a part two. She has her own service, Navipsych, where she reaches out to people. So I'm just going to share a little bit about her background. I went over it when we first met in part one, but she is a native of Atlanta, Georgia, earned a BA in psychology from Dillard University, an MA in clinical psychology from the University of Northern Iowa. Yes. Her interest in mental health advocacy and the improvement in quality of mental health care provision stems from learning as a child that her mother was diagnosed with schizophrenia. So her passion for this area of the field has led to other projects, such as team lead and co-developer of the Emory University School of Medicine Suicide Prevention Continuity of Care mobile app called Relief Link, free on iTunes. And she is the founder and owner of a mental health coaching and consulting company called Navipsych LLC, where she specializes in being the mental health navigator for parents, caregivers, couples and individuals who are seeking professional mental health help, and those are seeking fulfillment in their self-development. Currently, Stephanie is also the executive director of the Lee Thompson Young Foundation, an Atlanta-based mental health nonprofit whose mission is eliminating stigma related to mental illness. She resides in Atlanta, Georgia with her husband, son, and daughter. Welcome back, Stephanie.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me again. I really appreciate talking with you. You know, we talked the first time and we wish we could have gone longer. So I am excited to be here again and offering any insight that might be helpful for your listeners.
Yeah. And I think what you do is really essential. We talked about it before, linking people to the right professional, the right care mm-hmm. that they need. And, you know, going through this quarantine, going through this, you know, almost, look, it's like almost a year and a half, you know, of mm-hmm. COVID. And even though we're kind of having a little kind of coming up for breath moment right now with a lot of people getting vaccinated, there's still such a demand for mental health. And that really has taken the forefront in all of this. So can you speak a little bit to kind of how your service has really been able to connect for these individuals and provide?
So thank you again. And you're right. We have seen this swell of need that happened due to the pandemic, as well as the social unrest that people were experiencing on all levels. And so it's brought mental health to a brand new level that we've never seen in the United States. And one that is very much, I think, public. However, in my service of, you know, meeting with people and consulting with people based on what their needs are, their mental health needs, and connecting them to mental health professionals that are out there, one of the things that I'm noticing is that while we have this great need, we actually may not have the capacity or the bandwidth out there for people who are looking for services. And so it's one thing for us to imagine this world and this country and a society where people are openly talking about mental health. You know, we are seeing the need, we want people to go, but on the other side of that is, where how are we actually prepared to receive these people in the areas and the specialties and the service providers that are out there to meet that level of need? One of the things that I have experienced in my business is a bottlenecking. Once I meet with someone and I can search for their specialist that, you know, that can meet their mental health needs, getting people to call back, getting response back, is not something that just I'm experiencing, but what clients experience as well. And this is something that I think, due to all of this need that's out there, we have therapists who are solopreneurs. They're working by themselves, right? They're doing what they, you know, forged ahead and thought was what they were supposed to do. They opened a practice, they did the work, they do all this stuff, and they take clients, and then they're full. And so then there are people waiting to get services, or there are people who they can't serve. And so where do they go, right? Then there's all of the tech pieces that can help providers, you know, not have to manage their administrative assistance work, right? Like the answering emails, answering calls, following up, medical billing, all of those things that play a role. And I think what's might be happening out there is that these things are causing more pressure on not only the clients, but the therapists themselves. And you know yourself, after being in service for as long as you have been, the difficulty that therapists have with saying, I can't take you, right? I can't, I'm full. And there are some therapists who will just keep taking people, right? And not set that boundary. But it's one of the things that kind of is a plus and a minus to being in this profession of helping professions, is we have to be very strategic in how we provide our service, what we can do, what we can't, but also minding that we can set our own boundaries and that that's okay, that we can't help and save everybody, but we also have to be good business practitioners as well. And so one of the things that is of high concern to me right now is what is in our infrastructure as a society that's going to actually benefit mental health professionals now and down the road. What are we learning from these heightened states of crises that we need to implement as a society from a governmental level on down that will impact mental health professionals in a better way. You know, I love to hear, you know, I don't want to talk too much. I could talk forever.
No, I mean, I love, again, I think we're often on the same mind of what we see going on. And I certainly agree with you. There is such an influx in demand. I went from, right. I was full-time, then I started doing contract work for Social Security for people with disability for mental health. And then since this quarantine, my practice is almost back to full-time again. And you're absolutely right. You can't help everyone. And so it's important that you have individuals like yourself that can screen. Because oftentimes I will sit on the phone and after hearing them, I'm like, okay, so what is it that you need? You know, because right. if it's a psychiatrist, because you just want medicine, then let's point you in that direction. If it's testing, right. then you need to go in this direction. If it's short-term right. crisis management, because you're on disability from work, that's another kind of business. Right. You know, if it's right. really mental health stress, managing anxiety, managing depression, okay. You know, so I do think that people have to, it's if you know what you want and you're ready to do the work, then it's good to have a person communicate that. Oftentimes people are reaching out and they really don't know. This is their first time.
Right.
They don't know right. what they need. They don't know if they should do CBT. They don't know if they should do, you know, emotional or, you know, individual. Right. They don't know what they need. So I think right. your service is key because at least it points them in that direction. And
yeah. you're right. That's one of the things that I do, right? And so from that, then it tells a story that, I mean, we often get trained as therapists to think along the lines of being generalists before we pick a specialty, right? And some people, especially the majority of master's levels that are out there, that are the majority of the providers in our society who are providing this care in most states, right? Like they are the majority of the master's levels, whether they're in social work, mental health counseling, whatever that is, right? And so if we take this generalist approach, then screening becomes extremely difficult because you're screening every single person who comes through your phone, your email, or your door. But if we were thinking about this in terms of more specialists, right, then you know the person calling you should be the person who is seeking that type of service. But where's the screening? And this is one of the things that I do in consultation. My goal is to hear the surface stuff and allow my skill set to take me through their story so that I can get to the core of what their needs are. Because many people start off, well, I just need a coach because I'm trying to do this thing. And then when I hear all of the things they're doing, I'm wondering, well, where's the room for you to actually have a coach? Where's the room for you to actually process the stress that you're going through? So that means I take a step back and I hear, well, what else is actually going on here that you think this is the answer? And oftentimes it boils down to the other needs that aren't being met and are constantly just being passed over, right? And recognizing and helping people in that consultation understand the connections, the dots, connecting the dots of how what they're doing actually goes back past where they actually are thinking about is the beginning of the source of this concern, right? And getting them to reflect on how long have you actually been dealing with this core need not being met? Has it been since childhood, teenage years, college? Of course, most of it's stemming from childhood. And when we think about how we serve groups of people who are marginalized, people of ethnic culture, you know, majority groups, how are we even engaging them in this conversation about meeting their needs, recognizing how to get help, screening for that help, and making sure that we're kind of covering bases before they get to the intervention? Because what I'm seeing also is that while we are telling people to go get therapy, we also, as individual practitioners, are competing with the BetterHelps, the Talkspaces, these digital platform services that are hiring large numbers of therapists and then paying them $50, $40, $60 an hour. And they're seeing 60 to 70 people in a week or in 2 weeks. Is that, what does that actually mean for the people who are getting those services? And how do you maintain that, right? Because the reality is, this is a skilled practice, licensed profession. So people should be paid accordingly. We're not going to reduce the rates of doctors because people can't pay. No, there's an infrastructure put in place so that people can still go to hospitals and get surgeries, and that the doctor's still going to get paid, right?
Exactly.
All of the professionals are still going to get paid what they need to be paid in order to, for that service to be provided. Yeah. And there's mechanisms in place for that. So my concern is that now we are training people to think that therapy is cheap, free, and should be easily accessible even by text message. And I think that is creating a behavior that enables the de-empowerment of people to take care of themselves better. Easy access lowers boundaries of the client-therapist relationship, something that ethically we spend a lot of time learning, right?
Yeah.
So how do the therapists empower themselves to create a system that benefits them best? And I know, and I speak to this because I know in your work, you speak to the self-development a lot. And I think one of the things that has happened over the time of our profession is that therapists are not supposed to think of themselves as much as they need to in order to provide the level of care that needs to be provided all of the time. And this should show us, this time right now should show us, we have to stop, pause, and recalibrate.
Yeah.
Because the other part of this is, if we can't continue to make the money that we need with this level of high demand, then more and more providers are leaving treatment intervention care and going into unregulated market like coaching, where they can meet need at a rate that people are going to pay. But that also is the education around what people know is therapy and coaching, right? Like, how are we really doing this to where we're getting the outcomes across a culture that needs to happen around health instead of what we see all the time, fast, quick, easy, which doesn't solve much, right? It meets needs, but it doesn't solve our core.
Yeah, it's kind of like it stabilizes the symptoms, but it doesn't really go to the root. It's kind of like giving the medication sometimes. I think they'll treat the symptoms, but what's the underlying cause? And I think there's a lot of truth to what you're saying, because oftentimes people come to me referred by their coach, referred by, you know, their career coach or their, you know, life coach. And they're like, oh, they thought I should really deal with some of those underlying issues that keep coming up. And, you know, I just want to speak to this idea of the infrastructure, because remember, a lot of the access to mental health was the funding was pulled. So a lot of the state hospitals were closed. A lot of the mental health clinics were closed that were community mental health centers and were closed. A lot of the professionals got so tired of dealing with managed care and being given six sessions to cure something that was stemming from childhood and very solution focused, quick treatment, get them in and get them out, or giving them three sessions through EAP, which is a great service because your employment assistance program will provide it for free. But that's just an introduction to really what you want to work on. And so I think every year I have to renegotiate my contract with a lot of the insurance companies, because I'm one of the few providers in my area that still take multiple insurance companies. People stop taking a lot of these insurance companies, and we're just, you know, staying with Blue Cross Blue Shield or some of the larger managed care companies because it wasn't fruitful, it wasn't profitable. And so again, I think as a profession, we have to continue to advocate for not only higher pay for our time and our service and our expertise, you know, because I've been doing this 23 years, so I shouldn't be getting paid the same amount as someone coming out of college, even if they do have a doctorate in psychology, you know, and I have to tell these companies, you know, my fee has been the same and I've been doing this for 20 years. When will I get a raise? Right. But I do
and
agree.
Where else does that happen? Right. Like where, when we think about industry, where else does it happen where we don't pay the experts for their expertise at the level at which they have become experienced? Where?
Yeah.
I mean, we'll pay, we're now about to pay college ball players for their images, right? But, we're gonna pay them, but they're gonna need you in order to get through.
But what college. I wanted to just mention, and then I'll let you go on from there, but you mentioned the infrastructure, and where that comes from is really the support from the insurance companies or the support from the government insurance, because it has to be a necessity. See, people saw physical health as a necessity and mental health as an option. Now we know that 95% or more of physical ailments are stress induced. So you mean to tell me if I dealt with the mental first as a necessity, it may not even become a physical condition. So,
and to take that even further, that it's brain health. What we're really talking about is putting more emphasis. If we want to put this in the structure of medical model of physical health, then talk about the brain more, right? Like what we're really seeing is how the brain is starting to adapt to what our society, our environment, and our personal lives are doing to it on a daily basis from birth.
A lot of trauma.
And from in utero, I mean, all the way.
A lot of trauma, particularly if you're one of those groups like African Americans, Mexican Americans, you know, there are a lot of groups
immigrants
that are just traumatized from the messaging that they received.
And if we pay attention, like I love the documentary, The Me You Can't See, that was Prince Harry and Oprah that just released last week or a couple weeks ago on Apple TV. Like, this was a really good breadth of knowledge over several episodes of what really is at the core of what we're dealing with. And one space I really would have liked to hear more of the experts talk about was this idea of the changes that happen in the brain over time as we develop that are natural. But then when it incurs trauma, which is literally the neuronal changes that the brain will make in order to adapt to what is physically stimulating it over time. If we took that approach and used it in health policy more frequently, then maybe we could see a little bit more gain out of all of the research, all of the time, all of the professionals, all of the techniques that are out there. And we would then train people to be more, to be specialists earlier than when they start in the field, because that is where our need is now. I think we were at a point of however many professionals could grab the people after the rug was pulled from under them, when the service providers were, when the hospitals were closed and the service providers and community mental health was defunded, right? When that happened, it was for a catch-all. But now we're what, 40 years in? And we're still dealing with the same issues. And now that it looks like we're leaning on tech space and people who are former execs at Uber to create platforms to help meet this need. But how does this work? And what is our goal? My concern for all of this promotion of mental health is, well, what is the goal? Are we really trying to help people heal? Or are we just continuing the pharma model that has really infiltrated healthcare and created a system that is not really working for people?
Yeah.
It is working for a lot more than the professionals who are the experts and the patients who need the care.
Yeah. And I think too, as our population begins to educate themselves more about mental health, about the importance of stress management, about the importance mm-hmm. of really looking at why am I the way I am and where does my programming come from and how do mm-hmm. I need to change? I think that people are going to want to seek out more specialized care because it isn't a one size fit all model.
No.
It is very individualized. So, you know, mm-hmm. again, you know, one of my questions was, you know, how can we reach a broader audience, but still meet their individual needs? That's kind of an area that as a one-on-one individual, I'm okay. trying to figure out how can I meet the need because there's so many people that need it and I'm one person, but still right. speak to the individual journey, the individual story. Right.
Well, I'll tell you on kind of my individual level, how I'm having to change my practice of my business. Because I have so many clients who are waiting so long for me to get in contact with a therapist for them that I can then reach back and have all these steps, I have decided that I'm going to have to shift my model. My model is going to be continue to provide consultation service, find the therapist that meet their needs, and then go back to that client and say, let's do a coaching call on how to do your consultation with the therapist. How do you maximize that 15 or 20 minutes that you get to talk to that therapist before you decide that that's going to be the one that you work with? And I educate my clients on things like you can be an advocate for yourself because you're the expert on you. The therapist is going to hear you out and going to do with what you give them. So you can advocate for your needs being met with a therapist just like you would with a doctor. It's about what you're like, what level of change or what stage of change are you in? Are you ready to start now? Or is there something else you need to kind of prepare yourself for to get to that step? But I think this coaching piece around how to get into that call and maximize that call then also lets me offer the client their empowerment to do their own work. Because much of this work is me doing it and helping them. And you know, we are trained. If we are working harder than our clients, then our clients are just waiting. They're
That's
not
right.
moving, right?
That's right.
And so I thought about that very, very a lot. I think about this literally every day. And how can I empower my clients by educating them, giving them the tools that they need, giving them the framework. If it's not this therapist, if this one doesn't call, then look at why I chose this particular person for you. And let that person or someone like this person be who you call next. And here's how you do that process. Because for me, it's not so much about me making sure this person is a fit. That's it, right? But it's, can this person follow through for themselves in this therapeutic process? And so I think that's one way that I can do this. But at another level, I really think that any conversation that is had about the trajectory of mental health treatment and intervention has to involve professionals. We can't keep having panel discussions with people who are celebrities or people who are prominent or people who just kind of know that it's necessary. It's a good thing. It's a good idea. But
right.
we don't have professionals and experts on those panels.
Yeah. Right? I tell you, every time we talk, I feel like we need more time. We've got 1 minute. Oh my God, Stephanie, 1 minute. Can you please tell my listeners where they can connect to Navipsych, where they can learn more about you and what you offer?
So you can reach out to me via my website, www.navipsych, NAVIPSYCH.com. My email is on there. My phone number is there. So you can use that to reach out to me. I'm also on Instagram at Navipsych. on IG. So you can see me there. I don't often post my own content. I post my Navi Psych thoughts, but I like sharing information that's useful for people. So that's what you'll mostly see there. But please, if you're looking for a mental health professional or some type of help and you can't figure out where to start, reach out to Navi Psych, book a consultation that's free, and we'll go from there.
I love it. Thank you so much. You're always great. We're going to do a part three.
That makes sense.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. Love to see you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Master Your Mind with Dr. Erica. We will be back next with another terrific episode that will allow you to master your mind. Please visit hemphappier.com for more information about Dr. Erica and CBD oil. See you.